Welcome back to Ozark and Chill. And I got to be honest, Frank, I'm about done with this fucking show, man. What is going on with Ben being the absolute biggest storyline in season three of an awesome show? I think through six episodes, I was absolutely stoked. But based on 7, 8, and what we thought would be an insane episode 9, I'm setting myself up for huge failure here. I think we got a nothing burger coming out exactly like this episode was for me. Frank, what's up?
Yeah, it's like they're parlaying all the crazy stuff in the next season, or the finale is going to be insane, and I'm leaning towards it looks like they're kind of parlaying in the next season a little bit. I mean, we've now had, what, an hour and a half of Ben, who we didn't even know until a couple episodes into the season. So the guy's incredible, don't get me wrong. Like, we've talked about how good his acting is, and maybe they realized in the midst of this, like, wow, this guy's really good. Maybe we should, like, only have him at the end of the season, which is pretty stupid. But, yeah, here we are. I'm a little bit confused at why they're taking this route. And the only thing I can think of is they're just trying to go to next season. I don't understand.
Did they just run out of shit to write about? Did they change writers halfway through? Did they realize he's pretty good and then try to extend his storyline? We've been saying this dude needs to be killed off for, what, 3.5 hours of real show time? And what did I text you, Frank? I opened up episode 9 and saw 120 minutes. And what'd I say?
You said somebody's going to die, or a lot of people are going to die.
And nobody did. Yeah. We went another episode with zero deaths. Now, obviously, at the end there, we see Nelson approaching Ben after Wendy's left him in the restaurant. And by the way, we're not spoiling anything. You guys have seen this already, and we'll talk about the episode here in a second, but this was another episode with just building drama. I mean, we certainly have a lot of interplay between Helen and Marty and Wendy. We see Wendy absolutely losing her shit at the end when she's ordered and essentially given up her brother on a plate, which had to happen, but how do you have 120 minutes of absolutely nothing? That's basically what that was.
Yeah, I agree. It could have just gotten done a lot faster, right? Like, that whole process could have happened with all the nonsense, without the nonsense in between, other than just to pull on the emotional side of folks with, mental issues, mental illness. I will say that I think that episode gave the best line of the series so far.
I know you love your lines, Frank. Give it to us. Which one was it?
When Wendy was in the car with him at the grocery store or whatever that was, whatever food mart that was, and she said something like, what is your deal? Like, what are you doing? You're trying to get us killed. And he said, everywhere I go, there I am. That was the best. Everywhere I go, there I am.
I didn't write that down, but my wife and I looked at each other like, this guy is batshit crazy. Well, yeah, I guess I like we should probably just jump into it. So look, start of the episode, obviously we see Ben, who is just rambling. And you can clearly tell immediately, even though they don't show it right away, he's back in the cab. He's leaving Helen's residence. He's heading probably back to Wendy and Marty's house. Probably back to Ruth's place, because he's effing Wendy and Marty. And sure enough, they do show the cab driver. And even that, we're talking about, he could have shortened many things. We get the point. 30 seconds of Ben rambling. Yeah. We understand this is a man who's losing his marbles and he's venting to anybody, including a random cab driver. And that scene is what, 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I was like trying to decode a lot of it. And then I just realized that it's just like, it's basically his suicide note, right? In his head in some way. I think he's realizing what's going to happen and panicking, and, it's quite the monologue for him. But like right after that, they could have put him out. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't need to keep going. Like, that would have been enough, I think, for me to see that. And listen, guys, we're not going to sugarcoat like how we feel about this. I held out hope for Game of Thrones for a long time up until the very end. And I'll do the same, you know, with this show and this in the season even. And we'll see what episode 10 gives us. But I think, you know, even though me and Duke tend to have different styles, I think we're both realizing that maybe the critics that we saw before we watched it were a little bit right, maybe.
And man, we've really tried not let this sway us. and I've had high hopes. I thought the first six episodes, maybe even six and a half episodes of this season were fantastic, having me on the edge of my seat and tripping us up a little bit in a couple spots here. I think Frank and I have a decent record here on the podcast, but some different things thrown our way that we didn't necessarily see coming, but the it's just dragged. It's dragged for the last 3 hours, it feels like, of actual showtime. But we do see some decent lines there. And I got a question for you, Frank, because during this monologue from Ben, he mentions he's sitting on a corner outside a gun shop. He's going to kill himself or he's going to kill his wife. I don't think we've had any intimation that he was married previously. Maybe I missed that. Mm-hmm. He mentions, you know, people having these dreams where you accidentally kill a kid on your scooter and then, you know, all of a sudden your life's over. And that's how he feels almost every morning. Then he mentioned his father dying and what a traumatic event that was and how he knew his mind before that and maybe not after that. Any of those actual events that took place and maybe caused this mental issue that he has, or is this all the ramblings of a crazy person?
It sounded to me like a bunch of dreams that he had or something. You know, Marty mentioned something about when he was 19. You know, he knew him since he was 19, so I'm guessing that he was fairly young when they committed him the first time. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think any of it – well, who's to know, really? But I just took it as, you know, these are all, like, fragmentations of his brain in some way, you know, that he's kind of just putting together and rambling about. It is interesting, you know, that they showed that for so long, and it just had no – foreshadowing, it had no repercussions or no, it didn't have anything throughout the episode that was like relevant really, other than him going crazy, which we already knew he was going crazy, right?
Yeah, I think we figured that out when he was in the psych ward and they made such a big deal about it being, it's going to kill him, right? It's going to kill him if he stays in there. And obviously we find out if he's a crazy person and he gets out and tells anyone, he's definitely going to die, which looks like it's going to happen. But before that, Marty makes it over to Ruth's place to kind of explain to her, how did he get out? Like, what is going on? He's literally crazy. And Ruth has his back. And then Ben shows up. He gets out of the cab and says, look, I called Helen to smooth it all over. And you can see Ruth's tone change immediately. She jumps back in the trailer, comes out with a shotgun, and they're going to try to get Ben out of there. I think Ruth is pretty sharp, maybe blinded by love here a little bit of multiple times here in this episode, but she knew shit was about to hit the fan and turned on a dime.
Yeah, I mean, she's smart enough to pick up that you're dead, you know, the second they find you. So I thought that was my come to Jesus moment. I thought I had it. Blood spilled in the casino. He was going down there with Darlene's kind of forecasting. But it didn't happen. Too bad.
I was rooting for you, Frank. I was like, man,
what a moment. It could still happen. I just thought that was the one.
You think? Wait. So you don't think Ben's gonna get killed in the casino? He's in the middle of nowhere.
No. I'm saying that my only thing was that, you know, he said that he was a local now, and then they were said about blood being spilled in the casino. So there could still be blood in the casino. So we'll see. I think that's one way this season could end. It would be fun as if there's a little chaos inside the casino. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how in depth you want to get about this, because largely, you know, 60 of the 120 minutes at least was just the same storyline over and over. But we do see that Ruth's solution to the immediate urgency with Ben, you know, obviously going towards Helen, was to take her to Darlene's house, who has taken him in. And I thought it was an absolutely hilarious conversation between Ben and Wyatt as Ben's mind continues to spiral out of control. And he says, so you think I should stay? And Wyatt's like, yeah, man, you should stay. If she brought you here and told you not to leave, why would she want you to leave?
I thought that was going to be the start to a beautiful friendship. That was great. I really enjoyed that scene between those two. And then, you know, they didn't even really show anything of like, okay, well, how did Wyatt let him leave? How did Ben actually just show up and take him away?
I mean, where does Ben keep getting money for caps and phones and everything else he's buying?
Yeah, and that's what I didn't quite understand either. My wife had said the same thing. Where did he have money? Like, how does the last time Wendy was in the gas station? It's like, why is she not just holding his hand everywhere they go at this point? Like, what, has she not learned her lesson at this point?
But clearly not, as we see later in the episode. But then we see Nelson pull up to the trailer park, and we know for sure what we thought it's absolutely on. Ben needs to go. And then we go to Marty and Wendy's house, and Helen's there, obviously. A little bit of a charade. Helen finally turns around and says, cut the shit, guys. Where are they? And as they're still trying to talk their way out of it, Aaron shows up with Jonah and Charlotte, and Wendy's still trying to talk her way out of it. And Jonah, with his weird crush on Aaron, is a little bit culpable in all of this, right? He mentioned when they had the meeting last episode, as they got off the boat, he kind of fesses up, and Charlotte gets him to stop immediately almost. And then here, as Wendy's trying to explain that Ben's a crazy person and maybe leave that last sliver of doubt in Aaron's mind, Jonah steps up and is like, Mom, we already told her.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to see, you know, like the speckle in her eye, and like how lost in the shuffle they all are realistically with all of this, because, you know, end of the day, Helen, you can see her priorities are still her child, which is fascinating to see inside the show. I think the actress that is playing her has done a fantastic job of portraying a softer side and what's important to her, while also just being a straight up murderer. So I thought that scene was a good portrayal of Wendy being just completely overwhelmed with what's going on. And we do see that come up later too.
Well, look, and fill in the gaps here if you'd like, Frank. I'm going to kind of, you know, minimize the next 40 minutes of the show.
Yeah,
because essentially what we have here is Marty and Wendy as Ben goes to the casino, and we're all rooting for Frank, right? Frank nailed this. Blood in the casino, local blood. Ruth realizes what's going on. Sam's freaking out in Marty's office, and Marty sees Nelson coming in after he sees Ben and realizes we got a decision to make here. If I'm Marty, I let him just get killed right out back. I lead him out back by the water, let Nelson shoot him, and that's the end of it. That's not how Marty takes it, drives away on the boat, tells Wendy to get a rental car. There's some sentimental conversations here or there, but we fast forward to the parking lot in the middle of nowhere at the Warner Mart, which I thought was hilarious, and Wendy falls asleep like a total idiot. Wakes up to cops knocking on the glass after we see Ben getting out the previous night.
Yeah, and here's another thing that just, what was the purpose of that conversation? You know, we have your license plate. I guess maybe that could foreshadow something in going down the road here. But, you know, we have one episode here and just burned a lot of time with the same thing. Oh, like three or four times we saw, you know, Ben left to his own devices and then screwing up. And I know that was like part of the buildup to, you know, the end result here, which we'll get to, but just seemed like there's just a lot rolling over here, and maybe it'll all have implications, you know, in the last episode, but I find that hard to believe.
Unless it's like a 370 minute episode. I cannot believe we're going to finalize all these different storylines that are playing out. One that looks like it's going to play out here relatively soon, as Wendy goes into a different truck stop there for some, you know, refreshments. Sees Ben going into the restroom. She decides to head over and grab a couple waters and a couple sweet teas, which, by the way, Wendy now has a huge Southern accent. That's weird.
I noticed that right away. I looked at my wife and I was like, she's got her accent back. And I think it was just a to show the many personalities that is Wendy, right?
Yeah, with a schizophrenic crazy brother.
Yes.
And then we see Ben flying out with a black bag, and she realizes, did that guy just buy a phone? And the cashier says, yep. And she knows what she has to do. And I thought she was going to be the one to whack him, but instead it looks like she said enough is enough and made the call and gave their location. I missed one big, huge part though. And this is kind of, we do need to talk about this at a different truck stop, which again, guys, we're repeating so many things because that's what the episode did.
Yeah.
Helen gets a call inside the Bird's residence. It's Ben trying to make up for things and says, I apologize. I want to make this right. Helen asks, where are you? And then we see Wendy coming out again after she's left Ben alone again and grabs a phone and breaks it in half.
Yeah. And you know, fast forward, do we get that again and again and again? You know, told her at the restaurant. And like you said, she gives him up. Are we confident? Marty isn't the only one giving him up, or are we confident that they both kind of decided to give him up? Where did we ending with that? Did she dial a number from the track phone in the parking lot? Like, where are we feeling confident there? Because she did have a conversation with Marty, and Marty went into their bedroom, or maybe it was their bathroom or something, and he was talking to Wendy saying, where are you? I don't know that. They don't really get in the tech side of the show much, but are they tracking that phone? Like, how does that work? Are we confident that Wendy and Marty gave him up, or does Wendy just think she left him there alone?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I have an opinion. I don't know anything. We also just see the hilarious green dot rising up the and there's got to be something here, right? The green dot rising up the map and saying, that's Wendy. She's going to Kansas City for her fundraising thing, as Helen says.
Yeah.
Fundraiser's dead. And by the way, that's probably Charlotte. So I'm guessing that comes in here in episode 10. Another thing that needs to be rounded off. She mentioned how dangerous that could be, or Marty did at dinner. And when Charlotte offered up her services, she said, how much more dangerous can it be than anything? That's got to come up here somewhere. But I think that once Wendy sees Ben take the phone, at some point she calls Marty, likely when, I guess when is the good question though, right? Because basically from that point on, she's with Ben. Does she send Marty a text? You know, at some point someone has to call in this hit, because Nelson doesn't just show up in Tennessee or wherever the hell they are in the show and know the exact location.
Yeah. Shout out Knoxville, by the way, my old stomping grounds. I was hoping they were going to show like Wendy driving through the city. It hasn't been good. But yeah, I thought it was interesting, because it seemed like Ben had the idea that like he was going to go and get help. I thought that was like what Wendy was trying to convince him of doing, was going to get help for, you know, in the hospital in Knoxville. He's like, I know where the hospitals are, blah, 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 which that kind of seemed like an option. But I think she eventually just realized that he was going to wiggle himself out or get them into trouble eventually. And she had to choose between her kids or her brother.
And so we see Nelson, who pulls into the restaurant. You know, they're having the – Wendy and Ben are having the conversation. Wendy hasn't touched her food. The episode of the title, I think, was Pink House or Pink something. And Ben had mentioned that at that final dinner there. And as he says to Wendy, eat your food, it's good. And she gives him that one final look, stands up and says, I got to head to the restroom, I'll be right back. Kind of taps him affectionately on the shoulder, and then, of course, walks out to her van and pulls away.
Yeah, it gives him a little bit of a last meal. You see that in a lot of movies and TV shows where they kind of, you know, one last supper there. They you know, it's obviously, you know, if you're on death row, that's kind of a thing. Decent symbolism there, I thought. We're assuming then, at least I am, that Wendy was at least part of this or knew what was going to happen when she left.
Yeah, and we see then the last scene there, and this is where maybe some questions arise. Wendy's driving. She calls Marty. She's beside herself, crying hysterically. You know, they both have said that they love each other now. And, you know, Wendy's going back on what seems like her decision to give up her brother in exchange for the safety of her kids and her family. He's too much of a liability. And as she, you know, Wendy tells her to pull off the road, you're in no state to drive. She's crying hysterically. And Marty's saying, just come home. Let me take care of you. You have to wonder, is she upset that she's just giving up her brother and her brother's going to die? Or is she regretting the entirety of this whole situation and how they got in this mess in the first place?
Yeah. Well, I think she even tries to say something like, let's leave, let's get out of here. We're, you know, she's her role, I think, at least in the next episode, is going to be getting them out of there in some way.
The irony.
Skipping town. Yes. Considering where we started, you know, just in this show, just a short, you know, few weeks ago, in their timeline, you know, we see Wendy with increased, you know, power struggle here, and trying to handle the situation. And now she wants out, which, you know, we've seen so many sides of her at this point that it's, you know, whereas Marty is pretty steady, the kids are pretty steady, Helen's pretty steady. She's kind of controlling the show, and we don't really know which way she actually wants to go. And she might change her mind by the time she gets back to Missouri,
as she's now calling it. And, you know, a couple things here. Regardless of the mental situation, it's got to be almost impossible to give up a family member. I can't imagine calling in a hit on one of my brothers, right? But they do have a conversation, Ben and Wendy, where Wendy talks about how scary Helen is, and she would never let her know that, and how she's also smarter than Wendy is. Ben asks, do you really think she's smarter than you? And Wendy kind of laughs it off and says, no, we've had this power struggle throughout almost every episode. And Wendy does make that comment when they're still back in the bird's house, and Helen's surely going to call the hit on her brother. We need to make Navarro know that we're more powerful than Helen.
Yeah, kind of the struggle we saw coming. You know, we see Marty get the upper hand. Wendy lose the upper hand to Helen. I still don't think that they survive Navarro's grasp in some way. I still think Helen dies here in the last episode. I've been saying it for this whole season.
Does anybody ever die? No one's dying. No one's dying.
Yeah, we've both been saying this for the whole season that we think Helen's whacked. One of those three have to go, I would think. Marty, Helen, or Wendy. And I just don't – I don't think it's going to be Wendy or Marty. And I just – I think that the liability – we already saw Helen getting waterboarded. We saw Marty getting tortured. Well, you know, I don't know if we'll see Wendy in that situation, but we know that, you know, Navarro isn't going to be that sad about losing one or all of them. He even said, like, what are you calling me for when Helen had called him two episodes ago? She said, what are you calling me for? Take care of it. I don't care. Stop bothering me with this stuff, which I found interesting. So he doesn't really value what's going on down there, like almost like he's distracted by the war or whatever happens, you know, whatever's happening in Mexico with his guys. So end of the day, we don't see Nelson kill Ben in that episode. Perhaps we'll see it right away. But I did find it, you know, there has been some questions and some self-reflection in Nelson, at least in the little bit that he can, right? Because Helen asked him, like, do you ever get tired of killing people? At one point, and he says, no, not really. And then even Ruth looks at him in the last episode and goes, what did she say? How did my dad die at the end? Or like, was he?
Did he suffer?
Did he suffer? Right. Did he suffer? And you kind of see, like, quite literally self-reflection of Nelson in the mirror. So I wonder if he kicks in the towel here or he lets Ben go or something like that. I doubt it, but it would be a funny thing now that we've seen his self, you know, his quote unquote self-reflection going on twice now between two different characters.
You know, and you date back to one of the earlier episodes when Helen got in the car with Nelson and said, if my name's ever called, you let me know. You got to wonder if maybe Nelson's the one to take out Helen.
Because wouldn't let her know, right? Because it wasn't, if Navarro never calls him, you know, to put a hit on her, he maybe not tell her. I don't know. Maybe his own salvation is killing the one that made him kill all those people, right?
The more I'm thinking about it, we are so set up for failure here with the last, the season finale. We have the horse farm, which hasn't been even discussed since they cut off the balls from the rival gang. We have Darlene planting poppies and wanting to get back into the heroin trade. We have Wyatt staying with her, that struggle with Ruth, and then Darlene maybe letting Ben go. Maybe Ruth takes offense to that after he gets whacked and he's nowhere to be seen, and Ruth's surely going to figure that out. We obviously have the situation with Agent Miller, which we did see Marty increase the handle to make sure she stays around, which she was very onto and understanding and saying, we aren't friends. I'm still going after your ass, but she's going to be around for the next episode and possibly season four. We have Navarro, who wants all this taken care of. We have Wendy and Helen with the power. There's 1,000 stories that still need to be concluded here in the next 60 minutes.
Yeah, and just, you know, to touch on the Agent Miller thing, it seems like that got kicked down the road to next season, which I don't quite understand considering she's going to have a baby. So maybe that's not so much kicked down the road, but it seemed like that last bit that we saw of her, like, I'm going to be sticking around here a lot longer. Like that was just going to get pushed to next season or something. And then, yeah, like you said, we have just so many things to tie up that we're not going to get answers to. I don't feel like we're getting a Darlene answer. I don't feel like there's enough controversy there unless something crazy happens to start this episode. I just checked, hour and 6 minutes for season finale. So not just 4 minutes longer than the one we just watched, and you would assume maybe some extra credits in there for the season finale. So maybe about as long as the episode we just had of pure Ben drama.
Look, hopefully we've been entertaining and honest with you guys over the last couple episodes. Yep. As Frank mentioned, I think we're both in our own way eternal optimists here. We have maybe lowered our expectations a touch, but look, that could increase our ceiling and our appreciation for the season overall if they do right by us in the 10th episode here. We are set up for an app. By the way, I didn't mention the Kansas City Mob, Frank Cosgrove Jr. He still beat the shit out of Ruth. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that could take place. Charlotte heading up there. This could be the best episode in television history. Based on the last two, I'm not sure we're going to get it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a pessimist in life, but after watching the first, like you said, 6.5 episodes or 7.5 episodes, I thought that the season was really, really good. And I think it's still considered a really, really good season if we get a good finale. And it's not like I need every loose end tied up here. But it would be good to see something fun happen or something crazy happen, even if it's a, you know, I don't want Marty to die, but even if it's a Marty death, something that can be kind of, you know, pushed in the next season, something crazy that could happen, because there's going to be cliffhangers, right? That's why we're going to watch next year.
Yeah, I think if I'm going glass half full here, Frank, we're definitely getting a fourth season, right?
Unless the ratings are trash, which I doubt it. I doubt that's the case. You know, typically these decisions are made where a season struggles, you know, and they make one more. I can't imagine this one struggling. I just can't. The hype around this show is too high.
The hype, the situation, everyone's at home, quarantine city, COVID-19 across the world. You'd have to think. I saw today when I opened it up, it was the number two trending in the U.S. I think Tiger King was number one. So clearly people are watching the show. You just wonder, do they watch all the way through?
Yeah, and Tiger King had a slower rollout. Yeah. I'd imagine that you were definitely getting season four because they're already planning that stuff. They probably already invested a bunch of money at this point because they shot this a year ago, right? So, you know, there's six, eight months behind of when they're actually releasing and producing the stuff. So
I'm going to try to get into season four.
What's that?
I'm going to try to get into season four. It's right down the road. I'll be an extra. I'll be in the casino, the little, you know, the casino boat. I'll do something.
Now, I have a story for you real quick in the audience. I grew up in this little tiny town outside of Pittsburgh. And the only reason the town there is because there's a steel factory, you know, in pure Pittsburgh style, and a river in the town. And you know, long story short, Brad Pitt had a movie there. Or I'm sorry, Matt Damon had a movie there. And literally outside the doorstep of my dad's house. And me and one of my buddies were just walking around looking at all the movie set stuff. And we were walking into the street and they have all these tents set up, you know, and all these lights and stuff 24/7. They just got all their equipment. So we walk into the street, literally the street parallel to my dad's house, walk out, and Matt Damon and the woman actress from the movie come walking like right in front of us. And then everyone just starts yelling at us, not even realizing that me and my best friend are just walking down like on camera into a scene that they obviously had to stop and cut, and Matt Damon had to go walk back down to the end of the road and
no restart way.
The scene over because I just walked directly into the scene. So
the silver screen debut for our boy Frank. One and only?
Yes.
Okay. Well, for now, we'll see. But look, high hopes for episode 10. Obviously, we had zero deaths in this episode. The assumption is we'll see one perhaps right at the very start. So I'm going to set the over-under, Frank, at 2.5 deaths. Assuming Ben is one, I think we get maybe at least another one, but we could see, again, I'm hoping for a really good finale here. It doesn't have to be all blood and gore, but I think we have to see some storylines close.
Yeah, definitely have to see some storylines close. Like you said, we're not getting all of them close because that's how we're going to season four. You going to give me plus 300 odds on Ben living because Nelson lets him go and has some self-reflection on that?
I will give you that.
Okay. I have to make some prediction because I'm out of them. All my, I was right on some very minor ones, but
you peaked with Sue.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I knew all of them were coming. But
yeah, as we've predicted, everyone's going to die eventually. We've just been wrong on the timeline. And look, high hopes for episode 10. We're going to go watch that right now and come right back and record it. Big expectations, and we'll bring the big attitude and the big personality here as we close out season 3 of Ozark. We'll see you next time.